This morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 3. We've been talking about the callings, and the callings of the Lord, and with various individuals. And while we've been talking about individuals in the form of, we talked about Peter, we talked about individuals that were doing some work on the tabernacle, and what the Lord had called them to do. Before we get too much into the book of Exodus, I want you to keep your place there and turn over to the book of Ephesians, and specifically Ephesians chapter 4. So keep your place there in the book of the Exodus, and then turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want to point out verse 1. It says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." I want to make this very clear. So when we are talking about callings, we are talking about what the Lord is calling you to do in your life. And every believer is called to do something. We are called right here to walk worthy of the vocation. So how do we go about doing it? All of these things that we're talking about in regards to the vocations and what these individuals were doing is fully applicable to us. Whether you were called to preach, whether you were called to the mission field, whether you were called to teach a Sunday school class, or whether you were called to be a layperson, or whether you were called simply to serve in some other capacity, however it is, whether it's an individual such as Marilyn Muir passing out gospel tracts in a hospital or whatever it is, we are all called to do something. So this is applicable to everyone. This is not something that we just get to sit back and go, "Whoa, whew, well, I guess I'm not called to do something, so I don't have to listen to this." No, this is something everyone needs to know. This is something that everyone needs to understand. And whether it is a person that is of youth or somebody that is aged, it makes no difference. We are all called to a vocation of God's service. So as we turn back over to Exodus chapter 3, and we see in Exodus chapter 3 the calling of Moses, God's servant, as he has been called multiple times in Scripture. And one of the things that we see about this example is a common issue that comes when we are called. A common issue when we're called. What often happens when we go through something where we realize the Lord is calling us, whether we read that over there in Ephesians chapter 4 or other areas in Scripture, whether we talk about our ministry of reconciliation that every believer is called unto, or whether we're talking about something specific that the Lord is asking us to do in our lives, I'll tell you this, we will probably question what God is doing. We're probably going to ask and say, "Lord, are you sure about that?" We're going to question the Lord about the call. Our thoughts, I tell you this, our thoughts are going to cause doubt in our heart. Our thoughts are going to cause doubt. When the Lord said, "Hey, I want you to be, you know, pastor of God's Word Baptist Church," very much so, I found Moses' calling here of great comfort. Because I was like, "Lord, you got the wrong guy. I don't know where the emails got crossed, or, you know, if Gabriel messed up the invitations or what. I don't know, but I was like, "Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure?" And I sought the Lord's face in all of it. I wanted to know for sure that that's what God wanted me to do. And that's something we should always do with everything, every decision we make. But I'll tell you this, you know, our own thoughts, our thoughts of our flesh, our thoughts of our natural man, our thoughts of our own will are going to cause doubts. Questions of doubt are going to arise in our heart. You know, we're going to have questions about whether or not we're qualified. "I'm not qualified to do that." Well, God doesn't always call the qualified. Sometimes he just calls the willing. That's one of the most important parts. We may actually balk about what it is that we're called to do. I mean, eventually we'll start talking about Isaiah over there when he says, "Here am I, send me." He said that before he knew what the job description was. And then when God gave the job description, it wasn't like, you know, you're going to grow a massive church and you're going to have a mega church and you're going to have 5,000. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't Isaiah's calling. Definitely wasn't Jeremiah's calling. I mean, one convert. Well, I mean, when we start talking about that, we may actually balk at what he's asking us to do. Not because we don't want to do it, but we may look at it and go, that's too big. I can't do that. You're asking too much. Sometimes we may even have questions about or question God in his judgment. Right, we kind of go into a little bit of a dangerous area when we do that, amen? But when we enter into that, you know, that thought process and we start having some doubts and we start having some questions, we're going to say, God, are you sure? God, are you sure about that decision? I'll tell you this, God is very sure if he calls us about that. Now, I'm not talking about being called of a man. I'm not talking about being called of your own self-will. I'm talking about when you know that the Lord is specifically calling you and you hear that voice and it is backed up by Scripture. That's what I'm talking about. We may question that decision that God's making about us being the one for the calling. But as I said, we're all called. We're all called. In Exodus chapter 3, we're taking a look here. I want us to jump down here and verse 10. We find that the Lord is talking to Moses out of this burning bush. And he says in verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you've blessed us with this morning already. I pray, Lord, that as we look at this calling, as we look at your servant Moses, we would take the application. We would understand what is going on in these passages. And Lord, we would look at it with a truly humble heart. That Lord, we would analyze these things, we would look at them, and we would ask ourselves of the question, Lord, do I have doubts? Do I have questions? And look at what your answer to all of them is. Thank you again, Lord, for just being with us this morning in Sunday school. And thank you for being with us right now during this time. Pray, Lord, it gives you honor, glory, and praise. I ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here is God calls Moses. God calls Moses at this point, says, I got a task for you. All these people, are you going to lead them out? Now, obviously, there was a few thousand people at this time. You know, the estimates are somewhere over a million plus individuals were going to be led, men, women, and children, outside of, you know, out of Egypt to a place that they were called unto. And here he is specifically called to do this task. Now, I guarantee you, if we were called to lead a million something people, we would probably have some reservations. I know I would. I know I would. You know, if all of a sudden you were called to, say, run for president of the United States, may God have mercy on your soul, because people won't. But I will say this, you know, how many ever millions, 300 and something million people in the United States? That's a huge task, amen? You open yourself up for criticism. You open yourself up for everything. And I know that Moses probably was having some thoughts about this. He came from a family of leadership. I mean, his foster mom was directly related to the Pharaoh. And very much he was familiar with how leadership works. He had all the leadership skills of the world. He knew how to use the buzzwords. He knew how to use the word unpack. He knew how to use all of those things about presence. He knew how to use all of those words that just kind of give everybody the warm little fuzzies, right? He probably could lead. So he was very well aware of what it meant to lead people. And God says, I'm going to have you lead these people. I'm going to have you lead these people. But I want to make sure that you understand this. God knew he had the right man. Well, how do we know he had the right men? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. What does it say there? It says, now Moses kept the flock. Amen? We're talking about the flock this morning and the shepherd. Kept the flock of his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. I want you to notice something there. He was leading a flock to the backside of the desert. What did he do? He led a flock to the backside of the desert of people. God was already preparing him to do that job. As we said this morning, sheep aren't the smartest critters. And what does he wind up doing? He's got to do something to bring all those people together, to have them all move in the same direction. Do you know how much work that takes? Have you ever tried to lead anything? Have you ever tried to lead a Sunday school class of five-year-olds? Get them all on the same page? Get them all doing the same thing? Junior church class? Have you ever tried to lead volunteers? For the longest time, Sandy Scheel was the one that was in charge of the 4th of July Parade Commission. She's stepping out of that role and is getting handed off to someone else. But, you know, every year, you know, after the debrief meeting where we talk about what went right and what went wrong and all of those things, you're leading volunteers and it is like herding cats. They're all over the place. They're not where you need them to be. And then, you know, when they are there, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And there was all sorts of mass confusion and miscommunication and everything. And everybody, of course, most of the people had no idea what was going on, but everybody in the background is like pulling their hair out. God says, Moses, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. And we look at this passage, you know, Moses had a lot of those thoughts that we were just talking about. He had those type of thoughts questioning God. Is this really what we want to know? And from this account, we see that God truly had the right man for the job. He truly had the right man for the job, for the calling, for the ministry that he was called unto. He was already preparing Moses the right way. He was already set to do all of these things. He already kind of, if you will, knew some of the nuances of Egyptian government, to be able to get in front of Pharaoh and to stand there and say the things that he was saying. He knew all those things. And here he is now being called to do this. And what do we find in verse 11 of this? Moses immediately comes out of the gate and he says, here am I, send me, right? No. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Egypt, of Israel out of Egypt? He just flat out questions God. And I'll tell you this, as these questions come up, the first one he has is, who am I? You know, he starts doubting himself. I mean, who am I? I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not called to do that thing. I'm leading sheep. I'm not leading people. Didn't understand the correlation that's there. By the way, God does that. What did he also have somebody else do? David was a shepherd, amen? Yeah. Take a look at Solomon. What did he do for a fun occupation and hobby? Shepherding. Go read Song of Solomon. It's interesting. But he, again, because there's a correlation that's there, and there's a correlation between flock and sheep that we talked about this morning. But I will say this. Here he is asking the question, who am I? Who am I, Lord? I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Take a look at how the Lord answers here in verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He says, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to show you how you're going to do some things. Here you are out here. I'm going to show you exactly what this is about. I'm going to be with you, Moses. You know, when we have doubts and we have questions, isn't it great that God comes along with assurances? I was looking at this, you know, going over my notes, and I realized, oh, great Scott, I alliterated. I don't usually alliterate, but this wound up just being alliterated that way. They all have A's associated with them. How God answers our doubts, amen? How God answers our doubts. And the first one he does is he answers with assurance. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Aren't you glad for the verse that says he will never leave you nor forsake you? Aren't you glad when he says no one shall pluck you out of my hand? Aren't you glad that he says no one and nothing shall separate you from the love of God? I will be with you. I will be with you. You take a look at what he says now as he continues to go through all of this in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And he's got a lot of questions. He just asked something big, and he's probably sitting there freaking out about this, going, wait a second, I'm a nobody. God says, okay, I'll be with you. All right, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? They're going to ask me, what are your credentials? What are your qualifications, Moses? Did you really hear God? Here's God, how he provides the answer. In verse 14, he says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And you know what he does? He provides the authority. In the answer that he provides to him, not only does he provide assurance at first, he provides, I'm going to give you the authority to do these things. Well, where does our authority come from? The Word of God. Jesus Christ himself. From our Lord and our Savior. We have the authority right here in our hand. We know exactly what God is asking us to do. We know that when he says, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation you're called, I want you to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation, I want you to do these things. What is he saying? He's saying, look, I'm going to give you the authority because I am the authority, is what he says to Moses. He says, I am. You know, that is a name by which we must really, truly understand the full impact of it. We haven't gotten to that in Sunday school yet. That one might wind up being like a two-part lesson because of the volume that is behind that. Those simple words, I am. God says, I am the authority. Moses, you're not the authority. Moses, it doesn't end with you. You may be my servant. You may be the one that I'm putting there to do this. You may be the one that is leading this flock, but I will be very clear about this. You need to tell them that God is the one that has the authority in this. And it is God that is telling you to tell them, pack up, we're moving. It's the authority of God. God will answer your doubts and your questions about what he is doing in your life with a clear, defined authority of God. He will do that. He will answer you with the authority of his word. I want you to go down here as we go through the rest of this chapter, and we see here in chapter 4, verse 1, as we go through all of this back and forth, Moses is, again, he's having some doubts. He's having some questions. The Lord outlines all of the things of how he's going to go about doing that, where he's going to lead them to, all of those, you know, providing details to Moses. He's being very communicative to all of this, but it's still not enough for Moses. In verse 1 of chapter 4, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. What is he doing? You know what he's saying? They're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe me. Look, I want to be very clear. It's not about whether they believe you. Amen? It's not about whether or not they believe what you're saying. It's about whether or not they believe Jesus Christ. Whether or not they believe the Word of God. It's not believing the word of Ken. It's not believing the word of any pastor. It's not believing the word of a Sunday school teacher. That's not where the authority is that we already established. The authority is in God and God alone. And he says, here, look, they're not going to believe me, Lord. What do you want me to do? They're not going to believe me. It's kind of like he already knew that the Israelites had a problem with belief. And the Lord answers. And the Lord answers here and gives him this affirmation. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe them that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put down thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, nor you hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. I mean, what is he doing here? He's providing him affirmation. He's saying, look, they're not going to believe, you know, Moses is saying, they're not going to believe me. God says, well, I'm going to give you something so that they will. Because I know my people. The Lord says he knows his people. And he knows his people have an issue with belief. So he gives them signs. The Jew seeks after a sign. Gentiles, Greeks, seek after wisdom. They're more the logically oriented. You're not a Jew. Don't ask God for a sign. Because he might just go, here's your sign. And you might understand what that means. You may not. But that being said, I will tell you this. God said, I'm going to give you some signs. And the thing that he says to Moses for the affirmation is, I'm going to give you a sign with what you already have. You don't need anything else, Moses. You don't need a certification. You don't need power of attorney. You don't need anything that says, I hereby duly authorize Moses, my servant, to fulfill my will and to do these things and command the nation of Israel to do X, Y, and Z. He doesn't do any of that. What does he do? He says, I'm going to give you a sign with what you already have. The tool that was already in his possession. He didn't say, I want you to go out and buy a rod. He says, you already got it. And furthermore, he said, I want you to take a look at what else you have in your hand, and that is your hand yourself, and you can take and put that in your coat, pluck it back out, put it back in, do all those things. I mean, that right there would be a very communicative sign to them for belief. You know, the Lord is always going to affirm that calling with you in one way, shape, or form. And he's going to follow it up with things that you already have in your life. Things he's already done for you. Things that he's already given you. Things that he's been preparing you for in the ministry. Things that when we begin to look at, we begin to say, hey, I don't need to go seeking anything else. I already have what God's already given me to accomplish this task. Because the Lord has already been preparing me. As we've seen with the other two accounts that we've already talked about. Well, it didn't end there. Moses in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Okay, so now he's just making excuses. So we move from questions about what's going to happen to some doubts, to some issues of belief, and now he's talking about, physically I can't do this. I'm not the right one. And people theorize, did he have a stutter? Did he have a lisp? Was he one of those people that talked really, 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 really slow? Have you ever been in a conversation where somebody talks very slow like this? And you're like, come on, speed it up. You're sitting there, you must be from the Midwest. Because people in cities have a tendency to talk really fast. Go over to New York, you can't even understand a word they say. It's like they're speaking in tongues or something. But you start talking about individual. I mean, he's making excuses. Saying, no, I'm slow speech, slow tongue. God answers him again. And I want you to notice what he does. God addresses his weakness. God addresses his weakness. You know, keep your place there and go over to 2 Corinthians. This is a verse that we probably know. We should know. If you read your Bible, you should know it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as Steve talked about it this morning, a little bit about that thorn in the flesh, what it is, and again, that theory that's all there about whatever it is. But I will tell you this, the thorn in Paul's flesh was the fact he was weak. Your flesh is weak, amen?
Amen.
Your flesh is weak. I mean, we know it's weak. We like to boast about it and how strong it really is. But look, when you start doing comparison to the Lord, we know that it is weak. It's weak. What does he say here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 9? He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, for the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying, I understand my limitations. I understand my weaknesses. That's why I need Jesus Christ. If we can't save ourselves, how are we going to do the calling of God? If we can't do anything that is good, we look at it that way, Romans 7, we look at it in that way of, you know, oh, sinful man that I am. And we look at it and go, we know our heart is desperately wicked, but even we ourselves don't know how deceitful it truly is. Because we deceive ourselves all the time, amen? We understand weakness. God understands weakness too. God knows we're weak. God knows our frame. He created us. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every atom. He knows exactly how many skin cells you just sloughed off by scratching your nose. He knows all of it. Amen? He knows you're weak. That's why he's already affirmed, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you the authority you need. And I'm going to give you the assurance that you need. And now I'm going to address the weakness. And that is found only in God. You're going to find that strength. And what does he say in verse 11? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? You ever ask it that way? I mean, here you are reading it. Look, don't read the word of God like this. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who hath made... Don't read it like that, okay? Read it like it's got some emphasis. Read it like this. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Ask the question. Be expressive about it. Realize God's asking him, hey, buddy, who do you think made you? Who do you think knows that? You ask again. Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing, or the blind. Have not I the Lord? And what does he say? Verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And he addresses it. He addresses it with this. Moses, I made you. I know your limitations. I know your weakness. I'm still calling you to do this. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows your flaws? Aren't you glad that the Lord works with your flaws? Aren't you glad that the Lord helps you with your flaws? Yet the Lord sits there and says, I'm still going to use that. I'm still going to use him. I'm still going to use her. This is the calling of the Lord, amen? God addresses the weakness. And then we find in verse 13, and he said, this is the Lord. Or excuse me, this is Moses. Moses here is saying, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Moses reluctantly surrenders. Have you ever done that with the Lord? Well, I guess so, Lord. If that's what you want me to do, I guess I'll do that. I guess I'll have to trust you. I guess maybe... No. I like this part. Here's another A. How does God respond? Angrily. Because we find in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. He says, I know what I'm doing. Why are you being reluctant in this? Why are you making excuses? Why don't you just trust? You know, I love how the Lord shows us with transparency Moses' life. Moses was the meekest. That's what he is known for. The meekness of Moses. And I'll tell you this. I look at Moses and you know what? There's a pattern that's there. There's a pattern of meekness that Christ had. And you know what? Regardless of what goes on in my life, the one thing that I always want to strive for is try to be meek. Why? Because I don't need to be a bully. I don't need to be abrasive. I don't need to be a person that is just angry all the time. I don't need to be a person that guy. I don't need to be a jerk. Meekness is something that the Lord rewards. Pursue it. And here's the Lord dealing with Moses, and it's very transparent how he works with him that's calling, saying, look, you know, I get that you're reluctantly surrendering, because the Lord, or Moses kind of, if you will, in that passage, just said in verse 13, well, you send whoever you're going to send. Whether it's me or someone else, you're the Lord, I get it, you send whoever it is you're going to send. The Lord's angry because he says, I chose you, Moses. I didn't choose Aaron, your brother. And he even addresses that over in Numbers, amen? And he says, no, I've chosen you. I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. And God answers him with anger, but again, assures him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with your mouth. And we'll have a little bit of a telephone game going on. I will tell you what you are going to tell Aaron, and Aaron is going to tell the people. Talk about making sure you get it right. You ever play the game telephone? Sometimes things just get, I mean, it still even goes on with text messaging today. Somebody reads something and they get a totally different idea about what it says in the text. They infer tone, they do all of this stuff, whatever it may be. And it's going through this chain of command, if you will, down this line to get to the people about what to do. And we find here that this is how it would work. Moses would be told by God, and then Moses would turn around and tell Aaron, who had to talk to the people. And it was his job. That's what he did. But God affirms and says, I got the right guy. And you know what? We're going to work through. We're going to address your weakness. We're going to do all these things. And yeah, the Lord did get a little angry about it because he was trying to make sure he communicated to Moses, you are the one, the right one that I have chosen. And Moses, no, it's not about you. And Moses, it's not about your abilities. And it's not about all those things that you think you have. Because at that point in time, he had nothing. He didn't even have his own flock of sheep. To go from the Pharaoh's palace to poverty stricken on the backside of a desert, watching sheep just sit there and eat. I talk about boring. The Lord says, I got the right guy. Because you know what? The Bible says, not many that are mighty are called. Amen. Why? Because he wants the ones that are weak. Because he can work with the weak ones. Because he can give them strength. Typically, the ones that are strong and the ones that are mighty have a tendency to pride. And God says, I got the right guy. I got the right guy. We think about this. There's one thought that just overarches all of what we've seen here. God has the answers. God has the answers. In your life, you're going to wind up with multiple questions. Job had a lot of questions. The disciples had a lot of questions. Moses had some questions. Moses had some doubts. Moses had some excuses. Moses still was a little reluctant about it. But in all of this, what I find is that God carefully answers each one of them. When the Lord calls us, he's going to address those. It's not wrong to ask questions. It's not wrong to have some things come up in your life and go, is this really what God is asking me to do? But I'll tell you this. If you have a heart that is desiring to seek the Lord, you will see the answers God gives you in your life, in the Word of God, how he gives the assurance, how he gives the authority, how he gives the affirmation, how he addresses your human frame, how he handles all of it. God has the answers. In this life, you're going to have a lot of doubt. And I will say this, doubt is the tool of the devil, amen? Don't ever doubt God's word. Don't ever doubt doing what is right. Don't ever doubt the things that the Lord is doing in your life. I'll tell you the stuff that you need to make sure you doubt. Doubt the things of the world. Doubt the things of the devil. Those things aren't going to help you. They're not going to give you the answers. The answers that they give you will not go with what the Word of God says. Find the answers from the Lord. Every last one of us is called to do something. And we are called to walk worthy of the vocation. So when we're called to walk worthy of that vocation, when we're called to live a life of unity, when we're called to live a life that is walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, when we're called to live a life that shows Jesus Christ and who He is in us, when we're called to live a life that is evangelistic in nature and telling people about the need for a Savior and how we can have hope in Him and to give an answer to all men that may ask the reason of the hope that lies within us, all those answers are going to come from God. God's called us. Let's dutifully fulfill. Let God answer the questions and the doubts to give us that calling that each one of us needs to fulfill. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to ask this question. If you're here today and maybe you're wrestling with what God has called you to do, I will be very clear on this. Dutifully seek the answers from Him. Find those answers, find that affirmation, find that assurance. All of it is going to be found in the Lord. But if you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you this, the Lord is calling you to salvation. The Bible talks about how He calls us to salvation. And when the Lord calls us to salvation, I understand you may have questions and you may have doubts. But the Lord has answered all of them. He answered them all on the cross. He answered them all in His resurrection. The gospel of Jesus Christ answers it all. Why we're here, what it is we're called to do, what is our purpose in this life? It's all found in Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would like to invite you to respond to that call. Just come forward and somebody will show you from the Bible what God's answers are about where you're going to spend eternity, about whether you have a home in heaven, about whether you have the forgiveness of sins. Don't delay to that call, but respond today. I encourage you to do so. In a moment, we're going to close with a hymn. I'd like to invite you to just come. Just come. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. Pray, Lord, we just continue to respond to Your Spirit, meditate upon what it is You've shown us in Your Word, the example of Moses and the calling in our life. I pray, Lord, that as we do this, and as we close with this hymn, You use these things to teach us, to guide us, and direct us in Your calling. I ask this and pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.